Good morning and happy Easter. Welcome to Bioshield Baptist Church. This is a special Sunday because this is Resurrection Sunday. But of all the celebrations for the Christian calendar, Easter is the most important one, even bigger than Christmas. Today is also a special day that we're going to share with you because we are bringing this message to your home. Because of social distancing, we can no longer open our churches and it is suspended till further notice. But we're thankful that we're able to bring our message and the church to you, the people. This is the great resurrection chapter in 1 Corinthians 15. This is where some teachers, some false prophets, some Pharisees have entered into Corinth and they're starting to tell them, the people, about the life and the death and the resurrection of the body. But they don't believe in the bodily resurrection. They feel that the spirit and the body are separate. But here, Paul tries to teach them what is right and what is wrong. And Paul's authority comes nothing from anything else but Jesus Christ and from the Bible. So Paul is trying to answer all these myths. If you have questions, if you have problems, you need answers, where do you go to? I suggest Mythbusters. Mythbusters have been around for many years, since 2003. And throughout all the years that they've been active in airing issues, they've showed myths, over 300 in total. And whenever people have questions or concerns, whether it talks about the truth, whether about something that is false, they will try to find whatever is right. They've blown up and shot up and drowned everything from hot water tanks to a person's car that was donated to them as well. Mythbusters serves as an important cause to determine the truth. The creators want the series to find a fun way to mix science with entertainment. So here are some of the findings that they have found out that I find that you will think that is quite humorous. During the myth-busting times, they proved the most popular, and Mythbusters quickly became the Discovery Channel's highest rated shows for over 10 million viewers per episode per week. Each episode tackles a different type of myth, between two to three. But this one, I will share with you the six top ones that I found that was most funny. When I was younger, I also joined Scouts. And one of the first things we learn about is making fire. And when we make fires, we're also told about fire safety. There's things that you can do, no horseplay, and most importantly, never throw aerosol cans into the fire because they will explode. So Mythbusters put this to the test and they found this as busted. It is busted because the aerosol can will violently explode, but the worst case scenario that you would get minor burn to your skin. So it is not fatal and is not lethal. The second one is women have a higher tolerance than men. This one I believe, and this is considered true. It is confirmed. Because like Mythbusters, they took 25 members of men, 25 members of women, and they put each person into a bucket of ice. The women lasted for an average of 100 seconds, and the men only lasted 84 seconds. So women are a lot stronger than men. The next one is dipping a person's hands in warm water will cause them to urinate in bed. That is busted. They've tried this over and over again, and it did not work. When I was younger, I also took different tours onto the CN Tower. And whenever on the tour guides, they always tell me, keep your hands in your pocket and never drop anything over the sky deck. Because if you do, if you drop a penny or a dime, and it falls all to the ground, if it hits somebody in the head, it will kill them and hit the concrete. And this is also busted. Because of the size of the penny, because of its mass, it is not heavy enough to cause any damage. At most, it can't even break your skin and let alone dent the concrete. They've tried this and also even put a penny into a rifle and shot it at somebody, and that did not kill them. So that is busted. The next one is, it is possible to survive a free fall elevator. But as the elevator drops, just as it hits the ground, you can jump up and then you can survive. This is busted as well, because the speed and the travel of the elevator as it drops is so great that your legs cannot overcome that strength and that mass. So that is busted. So if you were to fall in an elevator, it'd be actually better if you lay down flat on the ground. And number six, in New York today, there are enormous alligators roaming around to kill and eat people in the sewers. That is also busted. Because Mythbusters, they've also found out that the sewer waters are too cold, there's not enough food for them, the rats and other sewage there is not enough to sustain the alligators. So that is busted. Today's message is called The Gospel, the myth of the gospel. So if you follow along the bulletin, if you follow along to our website, there's a bulletin there posted as well. You can listen and find out what the announcements are, but there are also notes for you to follow on. I normally have 3 points. The first point is myth of Christ. Myth of Christ. Throughout history, we have many figures, but none other that is most clouded than Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We know little about his childhood, We know that his parents were Joseph and Mary. We knew where he was born in. But other than that, we don't know too much about him as a person, and even less so as a divine person, as Jesus Christ, as a Godhead. Christology is an understanding of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Christology has been highly debated in the past and the present. Certain theologians maintain that Jesus Christ can be human, can be man, but not both man and God. So even today, people are speculating whether this is true or false. They're trying to find the true Jesus, whether the historical Jesus and whether the Jesus that was found in the Bible that taught his disciples and many others. The biggest problems that the historians and theologians face is that they cannot find too much information on Jesus. No one knows how he looks like, his size, his height, any physical appearances. They don't describe whether he was tall, whether he was handsome, or any features. We don't have any physical description. Another major problem that we don't understand Jesus being man and God at the same time. Many people have come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ of the Bible was very different from the Jesus that was actually with the disciples. So these stories, who Jesus was, what he did as a man and as God, they were very different. But if we were to find out more about this, where can we find about the true Jesus? Where is the real Jesus in the Bible? We can understand about Jesus by looking through the Bible. The problem is, the Bible doesn't include everything that Jesus did. Jesus did a lot of things. He spent 33 years alive on earth. He spent three of those years with the disciples. But what they did every single day, what they did, what he taught, was not included. Because in the words of John, in John chapter 21, verse 25, John 21, 25, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that not even the whole world would have enough room for the books that would be written. So the lot of things that Jesus did, he taught a lot. He gave a lot of instructions. He performed many miracles. Some of them were included in the Bible that we read in the Gospels through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But not all things were included there. Paul wrote several stories and a couple of the epistles that talked about Jesus Christ. But not all these things included every single detail of what and who Jesus was. We must truly understand that Jesus Christ, as described by the apostles, is the same Christ that we rest our faith in. The Jesus Christ that we believe in is our Lord and our God and Savior. He's the same Lord that we read about in our Bible. So Jesus Christ is not just a myth. He is not a story. He's not just a figure, but he is our Lord and Savior. The myth of Christ was not something that we feel that we are questioning today, but there has been a myth. There's been a mystery about who Jesus was long before we've been alive in his time when Jesus was walking the earth. When he's alive, people were surrounding him. Those people that are with him, they questioned who he was. They questioned his background. They questioned his authority. Why was he able to do all these things? Even these abilities and his miracles and his powers, they failed to see who Jesus was. They saw him as best as a carpenter's son, maybe as a rabbi, maybe as a teacher, but never as God. We get another example from Matthew chapter 13, 54 to 57. Matthew 13, 54 to 57. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in the synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get his wisdom and his miraculous powers, they asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this the mother's name Mary? And aren't those his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't they all his sisters with us? Where did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. So the towns of people, the people where he grew up in, these people knew Jesus. They saw him grow up. They saw him play. They saw him help out his father with his carpentry. But that's all they knew of Jesus Christ. They questioned him. Where did this guy get his authority from? Where is Jesus being able to find all his wisdom from? They didn't agree with that. And they kept on asking this, who does he think he is? They didn't believe that he was the Son of God. They made the wrong assumptions about Jesus, and they only accepted him as a man. Jesus performed many miracles, healing the demon-possessed. He demonstrated he had authority over the spirits. But when he demonstrated all this power, the Pharisees, the leaders, started questioning him. This person, this man, must be working for Satan. That's where he gets his powers from. He is not part of God. And they wrongfully claimed Jesus' source of power was from Satan. And we read about this in Matthew 12, 24. Matthew 12, 24. Jesus and the prince of demons. But when the Pharisees heard about the miracle, they said, no wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons. In another occurrence, Jesus is returning to Jerusalem. This is on Palm Sunday, and he returns, and all the crowds are gathered. They lay out palm leaves on the floor, on the ground, and Jesus coming in on a donkey. And they cry out, "Hosanna, the son of David. Blessed is the man who comes in the name of the Lord." As Jesus enters a holy city, everyone is in jubilous nature. They're all crying out. They're all cheering. They're all full of joy. But later on, they began to question him. And we read about this in Matthew 21:11. Matthew 21:11. The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." So they see Jesus as king. They see him as a man. They see him as carpenter's son. But they only see him as a prophet from Nazareth. He is only man. He is only mortal. Jesus was near the end of his ministry, and many have heard of his wonders, his powers, and his abilities. He was able to heal the sick. He has seen them feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. The people cannot identify Jesus, and they only saw him as a prophet. They didn't see him as God. They didn't see him as Lord or Savior. The Apostle Paul, he wrote many stories, and in this one, he wrote to the Corinthians. He encouraged them to hold on to the gospel that he had taught them, to not forget them, and to stand on their faith. He had preached to them about Jesus Christ. Paul encouraged them to hold on to faith so that they can be saved. Paul was not teaching them about false gods, but concerning Jesus Christ, whom he had met on the road to Damascus. Their faith in Christ was the greatest gift that they've ever received. Paul didn't want the Corinthians to ban their faith, to ban their belief on Jesus Christ, and to believe in the myths of Jesus Christ, but to believe in the true person of who Jesus was as Lord, Savior, and God. He reminds them in verse 1, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand." Paul reminded them that if they were to remember anything, they remember that Jesus is Lord. He is the one that can save. Paul taught them many things about the truths, about the laws, about freedom from grace. But he told them they can forget about that, but remember that Jesus is Lord, who came, who lived, who died, and was resurrected for their sins. They must also remember that Christ did not die because he was punished. He died for us. He died for them. Truth can be found in the faith in Jesus Christ. There are other people that have actually spoken about other gods, about false prophets, and about false leaders. That happened way back in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and even today. Today, there's another cult called the Unificationists, and they are a cult group that is active and alive today. They worship a Korean man named Sun Yat-moon. He claims to be divine. He claims to be the second son of God. As a second son of God, he claims that he has come to share new changes and new growths and to establish a new heaven and earth. Through his vision, he said God spoke to him about his great plans about the future. He appeared to him on the second time and told Sun Yat-moon that Jesus Christ, when he came 2,000 years ago and he failed. And that's why God killed him and had him crucified on the cross. And this new commands, a new change, a new life was going to come through Sun Yat-moon. He told them that God sent him as a new hope. So a lot of people here today are still confused. They're not sure who Jesus Christ is. They may have recognized him as baby Jesus who was born in Bethlehem. But other than that, we know very little about him. Jesus Christ is more than a carpenter's son. He's more than a rabbi. He's more than a teacher. He was all that and so much more. He is the one who saves. He is the one who is Lord and is Savior. He is the one that walked the earth, but people still believe him as only rabbi and teacher. So Paul, he wrote to the Corinthians to not to forget the good news that he had preached. It was nothing new, nothing groundbreaking, but he was reminding them in desperate times. Times of change were coming. Change in Jesus Christ. This message reminded them of their faith, to believe in the man of Jesus Christ, but also believe that he was Lord and Savior. Today, my friends, we're also living in desperate times. We're in isolation. We're told to social distance. And based on current statistics, we're not sure when this will be uplifted. Our Prime Minister has told us that this may be something for longer term. It won't be just for a couple more weeks, but maybe months ahead. So in these times, we're called to stay home. As we stay home, we have more leisure abilities to do things with family, with friends, but we're also encouraged, and I also encourage you, to spend more time with our God. Remember who he is, that he's not just a figurehead to come during Easter, but he is a God, he is our Lord, he has come to save today, tomorrow, and forevermore. So come to him, where he will give you rest. Come to him, seek him, pray to him as well. Because we are living in desperate times today. Jesus was God and human at the same time. It is true that Christ died for our sins. He was not punished, he did not fail. It was all part of God's plan so that we can be like him. It was God's plan to resurrect him. Truth can be found in your faith in Christ. Jesus Christ is more than a savior, but he is our Lord. He is our living Lord and he's alive today. My second point is the myth of the resurrection. Myth of the resurrection. So the resurrection of Christ, is it truth or false? Did it really happen? Or is the Bible just a book of stories? One of Satan's greatest lies was to tell everyone that Jesus Christ never resurrected and he is still dead, buried in his tomb today. This isn't something new, and it's actually been told and it's been circulated since the death of Christ. Even the time when he was journeying with the prophets and the disciples, everyone was telling him that Jesus Christ was never alive. Many people believe that Jesus Christ once walked the earth. They believe that he was a great man. They believe that he died. But the greatest question is, he never resurrected. He never came back to life. Paul was not teaching something that was new, but he was just simply reminding them on the truth. He was reminding them Jesus Christ, according to the scriptures, was buried, he died, and it was back to life on the third day. So Paul was preaching to something that was taught to them beforehand. They were saved because of their belief in Jesus Christ. In verse 2 it says, by this gospel you were saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I pass on to you as of first importance. For Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. This deception of Christ's death was planted in the hearts of many long time ago. And even to this day, people do not believe that Jesus Christ resurrected. They still believe that he's still buried in the tomb and that the stone has never been rolled away. Because back then, the deception was there for long ago. Even when the religious leaders, they told others to tell people that Jesus' body was stolen. He never came back to life. They bribed all the soldiers and told them Jesus Christ was stolen. His body never resurrected and it's not there because of this falsehood. We read about this in Matthew 28, 12, 15. Matthew 28, 12 to 15. The report of the guard. A meeting of all the religious leaders was called. They decided to bribe the soldiers. They told the soldiers, you must say Jesus. Disciples came during the night while we were sleeping and they stole his body. If the governor hears about it, he'll stand up for you and everything will be all right. So the guards accepted the bribe and they said that they were told to say. The story is spread widely among the Jews and it's still being told today. So even today, the rumors of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is still being spread that he never came back to life. It's just all a story. If Jesus Christ only appeared to one person, then it's much easier to falsify. But we know and we read about the scriptures, and according to the scriptures, that Jesus appeared not just to one person, he appeared to the disciples, he appeared to Peter, John, and he appeared to 500 other believers. Paul reported that Jesus had died for our sins and is buried and raised on the third day. And this is all according to scriptures. And he also said that he appeared to 500 people. A lie is only successful if people believe it. There are good lies and there are bad lies. Some are so poor that they only attempt to twist the truth. Others are hard to prove. But Mythbusters, they've been proving what is true, what is false for many years. They've been proving this for many different seasons, and they found some are true, and some of them be busted, and some of them that are confirmed. Mythbusters uses rationale and science to prove myth. Here's one of the ones that they've actually tackled. How many of you can say they walked on water? I don't see any hands, because it is not possible. But Mythbusters sought out to see if this is true. Mythbusters use science and folk stories. In Japanese culture, there are stories of ninjas. Ninjas who are performing based on their incredible training to accomplish great feats and great strength. They can sneak up on enemies, they can climb up walls, and also they can walk on water. Can you believe that? So Mythbusters, they're trying to duplicate this about walking on water. So what they've done, they strapped on wooden plywood, each on 1 foot, about this wide, this long. And on their own, the wooden planks, if you throw them in the water, they will float. But once strapped on their feet, what do you think? Will this be confirmed or busted? It was busted. Because once they stepped in the water, immediately sunk to the bottom of the swimming pool. It was a failure. Next, they tried to strap on foam on their feet. That floated, but it was awkward. They would fall backward and forward. It was not very stealthy. It was very clumsy and very awkward. So they cannot actually walk on water. So in order to find something that'll float, it depends on their mass. So a boat is able to float because their mass is less than the water it displaces. But if the boat is heavier than the water it displaces, it'll sink. So likewise, we cannot change the size of our feet. We cannot change the density of our feet either. We cannot become less dense than water. So what we can change is the density of water. Because right now, as we stand in water, we will surely sink. But if we change the density of water, perhaps, and maybe, we can walk on top. Think about quicksand. Quicksand is a lot denser than water is. But if you walk very quickly and briskly, you can walk quickly on top of the surface of the quicksand. But if you take each step very slowly, you will surely sink into the quicksand. So what Mythbusters did, they actually concocted a solution of two parts cornstarch and one part water. They filled a tank of 200 gallons of water and they mixed it in a concrete mixer and added 1,000 pounds of cornstarch. Just to make sure, they added a couple drops of blue food coloring to make it look like water. And it was only then that they were able to walk on water. If they walked quickly, they were able to do it and stay on top. But if they walked slowly, they were able to sink to the bottom. So in this case, it is not humanly possible to walk on water. So this one is busted. So Mythbusters proved that no person can walk on normal water because nobody has cornstarch, bags and bags of it, to throw in the water to make us able to float and walk on top. So this is busted. But what Mythbusters proves is that we can't walk on water as a human. But Mythbusters do not prove that Jesus is not God. They cannot prove that. But we know that because the scriptures tell us that Jesus Christ is Lord. So the resurrection of Christ could have been falsified if Christ appeared only to a small group of people. The disciples could have kept the secret to themselves. But we know when Jesus appeared to the disciples, he also appeared to many. He wanted to make sure and dispel all myths and all falsehood. He wanted to let everyone know. He wanted to let the world know that he is alive and well, that he is resurrected. So Jesus Christ appeared to over 500 eyewitnesses, and they all saw Jesus Christ. This was not something that was prearranged. These people did not know each other. It was not falsified. So all 500 people and 1,000 eyes saw that Jesus Christ was alive. Jesus appeared to James, his brother, and finally to Paul. Paul saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. He revealed the truth and the hope in the gospel to Paul. This experience was so dramatic that Paul immediately gave up his life to follow Jesus. He became a devoted follower of Christ and never looked back. So he believed and knew that truth can be found in his faith in Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ's resurrection was a hoax, it'd be very difficult to deceive so many people. If the resurrection was false, why would anybody be willing to die for it? Liars, they will persuade others to believe in their lies, in their falsehood. But when it comes to any repercussions, if they were put on the stand, if they could be charged, if there were fines, if they can be actually put to death, surely they will back off on the lies. They will not stand on it. All the disciples, they received persecutions. Many of them died. But if this is all false, if Jesus Christ never resurrected, would they stand up for their faith? Not really. Immediately, they would have backed out and claimed that Jesus Christ never resurrected. But all of them stood their faith. They stood the ground, and they all believed, and they all professed that Jesus is Lord and that he was fully resurrected. If the resurrection of Christ was a lie, many of them would have denied their faith long ago if they sensed there was trouble. There are many cults in the past and present. Many of these cults may have been widespread, but they do not last forever, especially after the leader dies. Because after the leader dies, no one is able to continue on and carry on the mantle. But we also know that our Lord, our founder of our faith, he's our cornerstone of what we believe in. He is not in the tomb anymore. He's no longer buried, but he's alive and well today. He is resurrected. For Christianity is alive and is strong today only because we worship the living God. We worship Jesus Christ. He is no longer dead. He's defeated death, and we share in the death of Christ as we die to our sins. Just as Jesus Christ was resurrected, we too have an opportunity to be resurrected. We share in his resurrection. We share in his life. We share in his throne. By believing Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we no longer have to fear death. We don't have to fear guilt, shame, because Jesus Christ is alive today. Truth can be found in our Lord Jesus Christ. So my first point was the myth of Christ. The myth of Christ. Is Jesus Christ real? The next point is the myth of Christ's resurrection. Did the resurrection actually happen? My final point here is the myth of Christ dispelled. The myth of Christ dispelled. The Apostle Paul, he endured a lot of hardships, a lot of persecution. He was shipwrecked, stoned, beaten, and left for dead. If Christ was just a man or a prophet, would Paul go through such great lengths to tell about this Jesus Christ, to tell that he was alive, that he is resurrected, that he is a savior? Most likely not. We read about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 30 to 32. 1 Corinthians 15, 30 to 32. And why should we ourselves risk our lives hour by hour? For I swear, dear brothers and sisters, that I face death daily. This is as certain as my pride in what Jesus Christ our Lord has done in you. And what value was there in fighting wild beasts, those people in Ephesus? If there will be no resurrection from the dead, and if there is no resurrection, let's feast, drink, for tomorrow we die. So we look at Paul's words. If the Gospels were false, Paul would have long abandoned this story about the gospel, about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was left for dead, he was shipwrecked, and there was at any moment, if there was time of trouble, time of difficulties, before they even came, Paul would have abandoned them all. If Jesus Christ was just a myth, a hoax, there would be no Bible, there would be no gospels, and Paul would not have followed through. Because Paul realized that he found value in the relationship with Jesus Christ. In all situations, whether in plenty, in need, he found contentment in Jesus Christ. He believed in the Lord. Paul did not have the ability to overcome all his problems, hardships alone. He had strength only in the Lord. If Jesus Christ is only a myth, Paul would not have cared for Jesus or the gospel. He would have lived his life his way. He would have lived his life on the fullest of terms. He would eat, drink, and be merry every single day. He would have lived things on his terms. And for this reason, we know that Jesus Christ is real because Paul risked everything. He did not hold back anything. He lived his life for Christ. Paul believed in Christ's death, his burial, his resurrection, because the Bible said so. In this passage from 1 Corinthians, Paul affirms that everything was true because it was according to scriptures. He repeated this not just once, but he said this twice. It is sufficient to base all your truths from one source because the Bible says so. The Bible is all truth. Paul said all things were true as the scripture said. He used this exact same terminology twice in the same passage. Paul was certain that this was true and he had no doubts. He repeated the audience and he knew his proof came from only with the scriptures because truth can be found in your faith in Jesus Christ. Some people, especially parents, they might find the school teachers and the school support staff not to be very hardworking, maybe not very passionate about their children's education. Maybe they don't really care about schooling. They have too much time on their hands. But right now, with coronavirus, social distancing, and the lockdown, we are called to stay at home. So right now, most of the kids, they've been in school since March break, and they've been there since March 16th, and this is gonna last until May. So the parents, and also their children have more time together. And right now, schools aren't expected to open until much later. So the parents have the privilege or the headache of homeschooling their own children. Their expectation teaching were once founded in myths and assumptions. Most of these ideas about their schooling, about the school's performance, are one-sided. It's only from the viewpoint of their child. And there's one child who wrote his frustrations. It's 8-year-old boy, Ben, from Kentucky in the United States. And he's been journaling his experience at home, being homeschooled by his mother. And this is what he wrote down in his own journal. It is not good. My mother's getting stressed out. My mom is getting confused. We took a break so my mom can figure this stuff out. And I'm telling you, it is not good. So Ben's mother, Candace, took this as a sign of humor. She looked at this and she posted this online. She received thousands and thousands of support from other parents that are going through the same thing. They found this humorous, but they also supported her and told her that she'll be okay. For myself, I know some of my own schooling. I have basic understanding of math, and I teach my daughters that. But every time when I teach them, they always tell me, this is not how I learn in school. This is not what the teacher teaches. I came with a Same answer, the same result, but they tell me this is not right. So I know my limitations. I am not perfect in my teaching. I do not know everything. I don't have a lot of patience when it comes to teaching. So I understand and appreciate the teachers, the hard work they put into it. I understand that they put in after hours work. They do a lot of prep work to make sure their studies and lessons are appropriate. They care and they are passionate for our students and our children. So after having to teach our own children, parents now have a new profound respect and a care for parents and for the teachers. They've all learned that firsthand that teaching is not easy. They realize a lot of preparations prior to class. Prior to the lockdown, a lot of the parents may have taken the sides of their own children. Whenever there are parent-teacher meetings, they always are able to stand up for their own children. Whenever there are any problems, low grades, low marks, they're always standing for the children. They believe their own child is the model student. They always are obedient, listening to the teacher. They're always participating. They always finish the homework. And whenever anything goes wrong, it is always to blame the teachers or the school. It is not their child. But now the parents are also teachers. They realize that things may not always be as such. They realize maybe the parents need to learn new things. Maybe their assumptions were wrong. And maybe the teachers, the schooling has been right all along. And they realize the problem is no longer the school or the teachers, but maybe the problem is with their own child. A lot of times when we want to find out the truth, we want to find out what is right and what is wrong. We require not just one perspective, but a perspective of many and others. So we have to do our research. We have to do our due diligence to make sure to know what is right and wrong, to make sure that our ideas and our findings are not biased. So if you want to prove something that is right or wrong, you need to do your research. You need to find many sources. And if we want to find the truth, we have to find out what is right and what is wrong. Maybe we need to find more opinions or more results. Paul claims that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. This is all according to the scripture and Jesus. Paul is confident, and this is not a myth. He knew about this because he read in the scriptures, but also because Jesus appeared to him. He first appeared to Peter, to the disciples, James, and finally to him. So Paul, he received this confirmation not just from the Bible, but he also received from Jesus Christ himself. So we know that truth can be found in your faith in Jesus. Paul's source is found in Jesus Christ and the Bible, because we all know that all scripture is breathed and can be therefore by God. All scripture is God-breathed, and we can place our complete trust in it. If this Bible is written by any other person, any other source, then it is just a book and a compilation of stories, and that is all. But we know that our God, our Lord, he is King, he is Almighty, he is pure, he is perfect, he is holy. And just as God is holy, his word is holy. His promises in the Bible are also holy and they can be relied on. They are trustworthy. So Paul told the Corinthians, not just to take his word that Jesus died for the sins, but Paul told them, this is all according to the scriptures that is found that we have today in our Bible. Paul told them that we should believe because Jesus died for their sins, because the scriptures told them so. They should not place their trust just on Paul, but believe it because he has received his teachings from Jesus Christ and from the Bible. We read in 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So for every good work, every good deed can be taught from our Bible, because everything that we learn from the Bible is God-breathed. And whatever is God-breathed, we know that we can rely on to teach, to rebuke, and to correct others. Finally, Paul states that if we don't believe in the Bible, we don't believe in the gospel, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ, then our faith is in vain. Everything is meaningless. It is fruitless. Without the resurrection of Christ, there would be no victory today. There would be no celebration. Instead, we would celebrate the Easter Bunny. Thankfully, in Ontario, we have deemed the Easter Bunny as essential services. As the Easter Bunny is considered essential services, we can guarantee you that our children will get chocolate, candy, and other treats for Easter, because the Easter Bunny is essential. But today, we're also very fortunate that our Lord, our God, he is alive today. So that's why we have victory. That's why we can celebrate Easter. Not because of the Easter Bunny, not because of any other myth. We can celebrate because the tomb is empty. Jesus Christ has resurrected. We look at our God, he is pure, he is holy, He is all wise. He demands our attention. He demands perfection. And he cannot tolerate even an ounce, even a speck of sin. So in order to appease his anger and his wrath, there needed to be a sacrifice. A sacrifice that was pure, perfect, and holy. And nobody can fill this role except Jesus Christ. He was a perfect sacrificial lamb. He had no flaws, he had no sin, and he was perfect in every single way. His body was beaten, and he took the pain for us. It was broken. It was his sins that held him there on the cross. Jesus Christ endured the pain and died for us. Everyone dies, but not everyone lives again. Everyone dies, but Jesus Christ was the only person that was raised from the death and never to taste death ever again. The resurrection is a sign and the promise of God the Father that accepted Jesus Christ, that he paid the penalty in full. His resurrection fulfilled all the promises of the Bible, and we are no longer in sin. Our debt is paid in full. There is no back payment. Everything is paid in full. Because we are not free because we are free because we paid the bail. We are free because all our sins have been acquitted. They're no longer counted against us. We are no longer counted as guilty, but we are innocent. We have put on Jesus Christ. We share his resurrection. We share his perfection. We are made holy because of what Christ has done. And we've been given new life, and we've been given new resurrection. Our faith, our Bible, our church hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ were still dead, there would be no need to come to church. There would be no need to pray. There would be no need to sing worship songs because Jesus Christ is still dead. The Bible would simply be stories. Stories that contain no truth. Stories that only give good feelings. And most importantly, our God would be a fake. He'd be a hypocrite. He would not be holy. He would not be perfect. But it would be just a hoax. Barrow Trail Baptist Church would not be considered a religious place. It'd be just a social place like YMCA and no more. There would be no hope. There would be no future. But today, we have heard the good news. There is great hope because the tomb is empty. Jesus Christ has risen and he's alive today. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, we have hope. We don't have to fear death, sin, or any struggles. We can face tomorrow because we have assurance that Jesus saves everyone. On Good Friday, we gathered here to worship what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago. He was crucified 9 a.m. in the morning, and there he hung on the cross. He was held there because of our sins. Between 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock, darkness fell across the land. The sun was no more. It was no longer shining. There were two thieves that were crucified along with him, one on his left and one on his right. They sneered. They mocked at him. They said, "If you are king, save yourself and save us too." When darkness fell across the land, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my Lord, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus Christ gave his last breath and gave up his spirit. The curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom. The earthquake shook where the cross stood. And there the Roman soldier exclaimed, "This man was truly the Son of God." The light of the sun and the light of the world was gone. Some of you might be going through your own darkness. Maybe there are some struggles that you're going through. Maybe there's some hurts in your lives. Maybe there is sickness. Maybe you've been quarantined. Maybe you're tested positive. You may have lost your jobs. There might be some disease and some sickness in your lives, struggles. Maybe some of you have even tasted death. So you are on your journey of darkness. But I can tell you, on Good Friday, even though as dark as things were, there was a glimmer of hope. And the glimmer of hope is here today, because we know that Jesus Christ is alive, and we can celebrate, and we have victory. Because the tomb is empty, the stone has been rolled back, and there was no body there. There was no body there because Jesus Christ is no longer dead. But he's alive and well today. He is resurrected, and he gives life. He gives life to you and to me. And that's why we can celebrate Easter. And that's why we can say that he is risen. So as we're about to conclude, we know that there are a lot of myths out there. There are some good stories. Some of them are convincing. Some of them are not very true at all. But some of them were required to find and dig deeper to determine whether it's right or wrong. But when you check whether it's right or wrong, find out where the source comes from. Who is telling you this story? Is it right? Is it wrong? If it's from the National Enquirer, then it's definitely not right as well. But if some myth busters, you can know that whatever they tell you, whether it's busted or confirmed, you can believe it. Because they've been doing this, finding truth, from 2003 to 2016, and had over 282 episodes. And these experiments were all true and honest. If anything of the results of whatever their findings were falsified, then they would lose their reputation and also ruin the reputation of the Discovery Channel. The Mythbusters sought to find the truth and not accept what was believed or what was taught. They verified and busted myths based on experiments and being transparent in their findings. So I ask you to look in the life of Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection. Dig deeper into it. Is there anything that you do not understand? Do you think that there's anything myths about it? But I encourage all of you to look deeply into God's word. Look deep into the scriptures, especially in what we just read today in 1 Corinthians. There is no falsehood. Everything there is true. It's confirmed because of Jesus Christ. And also, it is true according to scriptures. Know that our God is holy. His scripture is holy. God is reliable, and so are his scriptures. So whether we are believing out of like trust or faith, we've got to understand what is a myth, what is right, and what is wrong. And we look at Jesus Christ. He came to save. He did not come to deceive people. He did not came to like lie, to cheat, or to steal. But he did this because of love and obedience. And that's why he died willingly for the cross, for you and me. But there is good news that he is no longer dead. He's no longer in his tomb, but he's resurrected. So we can celebrate and shout hallelujah. Jesus Christ has risen today. Over 2,000 years ago, many people have tried to prove that Jesus is a fake, a hypocrite, and a myth, but all of them have come up empty-handed. If you have questions about anything, and if the source of your answer is Jesus Christ or the Bible, then you can believe and stand on this on good faith. Because Jesus Christ is alive today. According to the scriptures, Christ died for our sins. According to the scriptures, he was buried. And according to the scriptures, he was raised on the third day. So we can place our complete trust on the Holy Scriptures and God. It is so true that Jesus Christ died for our sins, but today we remember that Christ has risen. He's been resurrected and he's alive today. So we can place our complete trust in Jesus Christ and in our faith in him. Let us pray. Lord Heavenly Father, once again we come before you. We are so thankful that today we can shout in jubilant voices that he is risen. Our Lord is no longer buried in the tomb, but he is alive today. So may we continue to fix our eyes on him for everything that we have, whether we are still traveling through the darkness in our lives, we're through journeying through tough times, but we know that there is light. The light of this world has returned, and he gives life to all of us here today because Jesus Christ has resurrected and he's alive today. So may we continue to praise you and thank you for all that you've done. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.